The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Monday morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. You had fun this weekend, right? Let's take some of that fun and apply it to sales. You'll hear the good, the bad, and even the ugly side of the sales field. And our goal is to make you the most effective sales professional you can be. Now, here are your hosts, Len DiNincenzo and Jack Cullen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Len DiNincenzo coming to you live from Andover, Massachusetts, and we've got a terrific show for you this morning. You know, in every industry, research shows that optimistic salespeople significantly outperform the pessimistic ones. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Jack, why don't you say hello to the folks?
Hi, everybody. Coming to you from Yardley, PA. And in fact, it was snowing earlier in the day, and through being optimistic, I changed it into a sunny day.
I told you, optimistic people can do wonderful things. Well, we're not only going to talk about it, we're going to actually discuss how optimistic salespeople can outperform the pessimistic ones that are out there. And we're really going to find ways that we can pick up your spirits even when the going gets tough. Our guest this morning is Susan Cullen. Susan's president of Quantum Learning Solutions, and she's going to be discussing the science that's behind this learned optimism and how you can use the techniques to increase your sales and your satisfaction. Susan, say good morning to everybody.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And we're delighted to have you, Susan. I know this is going to be a show that people are going to want to listen to and re-listen to again and again, because as we all know, sales can be so up and down from time to time. So, Susan, let's start with just a little bit of background information for the listeners. How long has Quantum Learning Solutions been in operation?
Well, thanks, Len. Actually, I started this business in 1989, and our focus has been on helping organizations really build a more committed and engaged workforce, which really applies to the types of things we're talking about today.
That's great. That's great. What kind of industries have you worked in over these years?
A wide variety, actually. A lot of focus on insurance companies, financial services, but then it's been very diverse also. Petrochemical, telecommunications, high tech. We've actually worked with a lot of Fortune 500 companies and also smaller organizations.
Well, and it sounds as though with that breadth of industry knowledge that you've worked with over the years, you've seen it all, huh? From the optimism, the highs, the high of the highs, and the low of the lows, right?
Right, Len. Among every type of job function you can imagine.
Absolutely. Well, tell me just a little bit, what is it that you like most about what you do, Susan?
Good question. You know, I think what I like the most is looking for ways to make the work environment a place where people want to go to work, a place where they feel committed to what they're doing, they enjoy what they're doing, they're engaged in what they're doing. And one of the things that we find because of that is that their satisfaction goes up and their productivity goes up. So we'll see that when people are in an environment like that, they'll actually sell more as well.
Well, I'll tell you, I think over the years, both Jack and I can attest to the fact that, you know, happy salespeople seem to be on top of the world, and when they're on top of the world, believe me, their productivity does go up. We can't wait to get in some of the details. Susan, one of the things that we've done on our show is we always introduce a fun fact of the day, and Jack, you want to tell our listeners what the fun fact question of the day is?
I thought you'd never ask. Here you go, everybody. If you think you know the answer, you know the drill by now. Send us an email at sales@crkinteractive.com. What great inventor said, and I quote, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint." End of quote. His mother homeschooled him on his way to receiving over 1,000 U.S. patents. His mother had tremendous optimism in him, to say the least. Email us your answer at sales@crkinteractive.com, and we'll give you the answer later on in the show.
That's a good one, Jack. And so the hint there is, what great inventor? Okay, great, great, good one. Well, let's get on with the program. Susan, you know, sales, as we've discussed here, can be so up and down. In fact, my wife calls it a roller coaster ride, and sometimes I really feel like it is a roller coaster ride, and I'm not really good on those sometimes. So let's talk for a little bit. Why is it that it's so important for salespeople to learn how to be optimistic?
Well, great question, Len. You know, I want to tell you that I listened to your first show. In fact, I've really listened to quite a few of your shows. And Jack got my attention when, in your first show, he talked about an article about MetLife and how they actually screen life insurance sales applicants using a test for optimism and pessimism.
Right.
And, you know, it was really interesting. And there were 15,000 people in the study, so there were a lot of people involved. But what really got my attention is that they found that after the first year, the optimists sold 21% more in year one than the pessimists. But in year two, they even sold more. They sold 57% more.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, those numbers are you know, something not to take lightly. And what we see happening today, Len, as you know, we've got 10% of our workforce unemployed, and the rest, everybody else is trying to stay afloat. And we know that we can't always control the market, we can't control the economy, we can't control what prospects are going to always do, we can't control other people. But learning how to control ourselves is possible, and understanding how to be more optimistic can give us a real edge in learning how to increase our sales and being more competitive in today's marketplace.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's one thing that I think everybody listening will agree to, it is a very competitive marketplace these days, and I think anything that's going to give them the edge is really something that's worth listening to.
Absolutely.
So Susan, what is it that optimistic salespeople will why is it that they always seem to be, you know, just better performers than those that are carrying around the weight of the world?
Well, you know, here's where we really dig into it, Len. We know that the importance of optimism is not just an empty platitude. There's actually been a lot of research behind this. And, you know, one of the key people involved is a man by the name of Martin Seligman, who's a psychologist and the director of the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And he wrote a book called Learned Optimism, which is really what we're going to be talking about a lot today. Now, he later wrote a book called Authentic Happiness, which is also fascinating, if anyone has an interest in that. But I want to go back for a minute to this MetLife example that we just talked about, because here's where it really starts to make sense. When he did some of his first groundbreaking research in this area, the CEO of MetLife went to him and wanted to hire his services, and you know, he mentioned to him probably things that are very similar to all of our listeners today. You know, selling isn't easy. It requires persistence. It can take an unusual person who really can do it well and stick with it. And so every year, MetLife would hire 5,000 new life insurance agents. And this is out of 60,000 people, by the way. So they'd pick the best. And then they would test them. They would screen them. They would interview them. They would give them extensive training. But after the first year, half of them quit anyway.
Wow.
And by the end of the fourth year, Len, 80% of those people are gone.
Wow.
So when the CEO of MetLife went back and looked at this, he found that they were losing over $75 million a year in just hiring costs alone. And one thing I want to say is this book was first published in 1990, so it's been quite a while. It is even, I'm sure, much bigger today. And one of the things that he mentioned is that this is typical of that entire industry. So there's a lot of research into this, and it makes a big difference. And, you know, I'd be interested in going back and looking at, you know, what you, Len, and Jack have found about your own experience training salespeople, working with salespeople. You've probably seen a lot of turnover in this profession as well.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because it's a big problem. The expense associated with hiring and bringing somebody on board and training them and getting them up to speed, you know, it's all front-end loaded from a training and development standpoint.
Right.
So when you've got turnover, and we've experienced it as high as 25, 30, 35%, in some industries that we're working with in the first year. I mean, you know, and then it gets worse if they go on. I don't know if we've ever approached 80% after 4 years, but that is frightening. That truly is frightening when you hear that number. And it's interesting that something as important as just staying optimistic can help them with what they're doing. It's really a interesting point. Jack, how about your feedback on this?
Well, I think that it really is crucial to the success of any company to, for some obvious reasons, minimize turnover throughout an organization, but especially the part of the organization that's responsible for generating revenue, and profits. So if you have a lot of turnover going on in the sales organization, then we have a real serious situation. I'd like to share a story, if it's okay with you, Susan and Len.
It's fine by me, Jack.
Well, I came across this rather interesting story, and I kept it specifically for this show, given the subject of the importance of optimism. There once was a bunch of tiny frogs who arranged a running competition. The goal was to reach the top of a very high tower. A huge crowd of other frogs had gathered around the tower to see the race and cheer on these tiny contestants. Well, the race began, and frankly, no one in the crowd really believed that these tiny frogs would reach the top of the tower. It was impossible. Some of them were hollering, "Oh, no way, it's way too difficult, it's impossible. None of them will ever make it up to the top." And the tiny frogs began collapsing one by one, except for a few, and they kept going, and the crowd continued to yell at them, "It's really too difficult. No one will make that. It's impossible." And gradually more and more of the tiny frogs got tired and just gave up. But one continued climbing higher and higher and higher, even though the crowd continued to yell. At the end, everyone else had given up except for this one tiny little frog. And after this big effort, he was the only one who reached the top. The only one that reached the top. And then all the other tiny frogs naturally wanted to know how this one frog managed to do it.
How did he do it, Jack?
Well, it turned out, Susan, that the winner was deaf. He was deaf to the discouraging words that were being yelled at all the competitors by the onlookers. Len, let's give a bell ring out for the tiny little frog.
I think he may not be able to hear it, but let's listen to do it for him.
There you go. I want to repeat our question for our fun fact, and I'll give you the answer when we come back. What great inventor, in fact, he actually received over 1,000 U.S. patents, was quoted as saying, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint." His mother went on to homeschool him on his way to receiving over 1,000 patents. She had tremendous optimism in him, and ultimately, he in himself to, to imagine that, over 1,000 patents. It just hurts my mind to even think about it. We'll give you the answer when we come back. Send your thoughts to sales@crkinteractive.com. If you have any questions for Susan, send those as well. And we'll catch up with you right after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive. They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales at crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales at crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales at crkinteractive.com. That's sales at crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
And we're back after our first break. Again, our guest this morning with Jack and Len is Susan Cullen, president of Quantum Learning Solutions, and we're here to talk about how optimistic salespeople can certainly outperform pessimistic salespeople. Before we get back to Susan, though, Jack, you want to give the folks the answer to our fun fact question of the day?
I certainly would. What great inventor said, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint," went on to have over 1,000 patents. Well, we had a ton of respondents on this, and I must say a very high percentage with the correct answer. Those words were spoken by an inventor, someone who was once afraid of the dark, and so he decided to do something about that by inventing the light bulb to address that particular problem. Yep, congratulations to all of you that correctly emailed us. The answer is Thomas Alva Edison.
Thomas Edison.
Ring that bell for Tom.
All righty.
Ring that bell.
You know, that's a great example of someone taking a challenge and finding a way to overcome it. I never knew that about him.
Well, it's a great story. It really is a great story. And, you know, talk about somebody who's had 1,000 patents. I heard on the light bulb alone he failed 10,000 times, and his response was, no, he just found out 10,000 ways it didn't work.
Sounds to me like he had a pretty optimistic mindset, Len.
I would say so, Susan. So, Susan, when we last finished, you were talking about the experience that was described at the MetLife company and how after 4 years, 80% of the people that were there had actually turned over and had quit. Did you get any information as to why so many of them actually packed it in and quit?
Well, yes, we did, and I think this is why it's so important to recognize the relationship between optimism and sales success. In every single day in the sales profession, quite a few people say no. You know, it takes a lot of no's,
sure,
many times to get to one yes. And when you're in life insurance, especially with MetLife people, they saw that even more. And what could happen is that if people are getting no's, you know, sometimes they get very discouraged. And then once they get discouraged, it takes more and more effort to get to the next call. And then pretty soon, you know, they find themselves putting things off. So they're spending a lot of time on administrative work or busy work. And they start to see that their production falls off and it starts to slip. And then pretty soon, you know, the next step is just, you know, well, what's the use? This is too hard. And so MetLife found that only those agents who kept making their 10 calls every day and were not fazed by rejection succeeded. Now, it all was because of what Martin Seligman called learned helplessness and their explanatory style. So it's learned helplessness and explanatory style. Let me give you an example of how that might work.
Yeah, please do.
You know, pessimistic salespeople in that situation are going to say things like, you know, I'm no good at this.
Right.
You know, no one wants to buy insurance from me. What's the use in even trying this hard? And, you know, you can see how we've all had those experiences.
Sure. It's human nature, and it's not an easy job. There's a lot of rejection in that, sure.
Absolutely. And we've all of us have felt that. And it's easy to understand that whenever we're stuck in that place, we're not going to try as hard, and our behavior isn't going to be the same as it would be with what the optimistic salespeople would say to themselves in that same situation. So they would say something like, you know, that person that just said no to me, well, they were just too busy right now. I'll call later. Yeah. Or this last prospect that said no, they don't have any need for life insurance. Well, you know, they might have said no, but I know that 8 out of 10 people are underinsured. So they would talk to themselves differently, Lynn. And what happened as a result is that Seligman's research found that those agents who scored, you know, in the testing that they gave, you know, very optimistic, they were more immune to what he called learned helplessness. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't give up. And no matter how much rejection and failure they encountered, they just kept going.
You know, it's that thick skin that they develop, that it's, you know, they don't take it personal, that it's personal rejection. It's just they move on. They fluff it off and they move on, right?
You're absolutely right. And here's what I thought was also interesting. We go back to just some of the research again.
Yep.
You know, we were talking about, you know, at the beginning how, you know, optimistic people outsell pessimistic people. Well, what they also did in this study, Lynn, is that they went back to look at extremely optimistic compared to extreme pessimists. So they looked at, you know, the extremes of both ends of the scale, and they found that, and this I thought was really interesting, extremely optimistic agents outsold the extreme pessimists by 88%.
88% is that is a staggering statistic. Staggering.
It is staggering. It is staggering.
You know, Susan, one of the things that that strikes me just from this whole segment that you've discussed here is it does line up exactly right with the experience that we've had over the years. When you get somebody who matches that persistence that they have, and combine that with a positive attitude, which is what we're talking about being optimistic,
right,
and then include in those solid fundamentals that they do on a consistent basis, you get people that are successful. They're successful no matter what. They just keep going.
Right, absolutely. And it all goes back to explanatory style.
Yep.
You know, what someone says they're explanatory.
Could you explain for the listeners what is it that you mean by explanatory style?
Well, it's a lot more than just saying empty platitudes to yourself. There actually is a real process behind it, and Seligman found that there were three elements of your explanatory style that were really important. And I'll just give you the big picture, and then we'll go to each one.
Okay.
The first one was permanence, and then pervasiveness and personal. So let me give you an example, because it's just easier to understand that way.
Okay.
With permanence, you know, explanatory style, a negative life insurance agent would say, you know, I'm never going to be able to sell. It's all, you know, it's always going to be this way. So they think that it puts the challenge they're facing now, they're always going to face.
Kind of like, poor me, here it is, and I can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So they think, you know, it's always going to be that way. The next step is pervasiveness. So if they find they're struggling in an area of sales, you know, with, you know, in this particular area of insurance, they're going to believe that it's going to bleed over into other areas of life too. So they'll start to say things to themselves like, you know, I'm just a loser, I'm not good at anything, I couldn't sell this, I'm not good at anything else. So it becomes more pervasive in every area of their life.
Right.
And then the last one—that's
kind of that negative spiral. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah,
and it is that. You're right. It is that negative spiral, and we can all relate to it. We all know what that is. And then the last one is personal. So they'll, and this I thought was really interesting. The pessimist will say it's because of me. I'm not good at it, and so that's why I'm not selling. It's all my fault. And but the optimist would turn it around and they'd say,
it's that.
Well,
it's them, right?
Exactly. It's all their fault. It's not my fault. So, you know, I think, you know, those three elements, permanence, pervasiveness, and personal, those are three elements of explanatory style. And what's really interesting is that in the assessment that they did, they went in to dig in deeper, and you can actually get a test now that you can take online. It's a free test that will let you understand what your own explanatory style is in those three areas of permanence, pervasiveness, and personal. And I think, Lynn, you wanted to be able to offer this to listeners today. Is that right?
We did, Susan. And folks, because of our asking Susan to come on and the topic that we have today, Susan has provided us with this link. And if you email us at sales@crkinteractive.com, we'll send you the link so you can take this self-assessment and just see how optimistic you are in things. And Susan has also been kind enough to send along a little explanatory detail. She's written up a couple of pages of information that will help you interpret your scores when you get it back. So once again, it's sales@crkinteractive.com, and we'll send you the link for the free optimism assessment.
I'm interested in asking Susan a question here, if I could.
Sure, go right ahead, Jack.
You know, as I'm listening to this, it clearly is a tool that could be of value to someone that has recently found themselves on the unemployment line as well, or maybe not even recently. In fact, it may be even a more useful tool for somebody that unfortunately has been spending the last several months or many, many months on the unemployment line and really could use you know, something like this tool. What do you think about that, Susan?
I think you're absolutely right, Jack, because it's going to really impact, you know, how willing someone is to just keep going and keep sending out those resumes and not get discouraged. So there's absolutely a relationship there.
Well, Susan, we want to ring a bell out for you for making this available to everybody.
So, thanks.
Thank you very much for making that available. So, listen, how can you learn to be more optimistic?
Well, you know, there's actually a 5-step model that is in the book Learned Optimism.
Yeah.
But you know, he talks about, you know, A, B, C, D, E. So A is to recognize when you have an adversity, and we all have those. But B is belief, and that's the most important step. So that's basically just listen to what you're saying to yourself. You know, what is your explanatory style? And then C is, you know, there will be a consequence for that explanatory mm-hmm. style, for our belief. So we're going to act differently. I think the next one, the D, is especially important, and that is disputing those beliefs that we don't want. So, you know, is it true that we're always a loser? Probably not. You know, is it true that you just can never sell anything? Probably not.
Right,
so it's disputing those beliefs until the outcome of that is feeling more energized. So I think, in summary, the big picture to make it really, you know, really streamlined is just to start recognizing your explanatory style. What are you saying to yourself? And then challenge yourself about those beliefs. Are they really on track or not? And, you know, that's the big key.
Let me repeat those steps just to make sure that I got them all down. A, B, C, D, E. I love just mm-hmm. the whole alphabet acronym. A is for adversity. B is for belief. C is for consequence. C is disputing beliefs. And E is energization, correct?
Right. You got it.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
You know,
hey, Jack,
as I'm listening to
this,
looks
like we got an email.
Even before the email, it's just a light bulb's going off in my head that one of the things that I would be well advised to do is to stop listening to talk radio here in Philadelphia about the Philadelphia Eagle football team, because I'd be much better served to get away from that, because it's nothing but pessimism. I know it's hard for you to believe, Len, but
I'd only listen to Voice America Radio, Jack.
Yeah, really, really crazy. Yeah, that's it for me from now on. Only Voice America. We do have an email for you, Susan, a question for you, and it's from Grace in Clifton, New Jersey. That's up there in
Northern Jersey,
Bergen County, I believe. She says, "I'm in real estate. Do optimistic salespeople in every industry outperform others?"
Well, you know, great point, and it's absolutely true. Research shows this is true in every industry, Grace, and, you know, across the field, we see this a consistent thing. So, absolutely, no matter what industry you're in, if it's sales, optimistic salespeople are going to outproduce the pessimistic ones.
Hey, that's great. We also have some other emails coming in, but we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back for the break, we're going to get to these other emails that we've got. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
From the boardroom to you.
Voice America Business Network.
Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive. They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales@crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales@crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did.
Money. We love it, we hate it, and everything in between. You can be the master of your life and your own economics. Join Professor Laurie Lamantia each week for the program Making Peace with Money. Laurie will help you realize the power to create fulfillment in your life and shed new light on your money madness. You'll learn how to make peace with money and feel the joy and freedom renewed in your life. Making Peace with Money is broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales@crkinteractive.com. That's sales@crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
Welcome back. Again, we are really delighted to have the president of Quantum Learning Solutions with us today, Susan Collins. Susan, thank you for the insight that you've been sharing here with our listeners.
My pleasure.
We, again, want to encourage folks to take advantage of having the opportunity to ask a question of Susan or make a comment. Send us an email at sales@crkinteractive.com. We'll be checking the mailbag through the remainder of the show. We have an email question from one of our listeners from Mount Prospect, Illinois. And I know that's just outside Chicago. And it's from Kathy. And Kathy says, I would think this would impact other areas of life as well. What do you think about that?
Really great question, Kathy. You know, in Seligman's book, he talks about how this impacts not just business and salespeople. He talks about how this impacts all areas of life. So you're right on there. You know, how it impacts sports. Jack and Lynn, I thought you'd be interested in that one. How it impacts children growing up, and also how it impacts our health. And health is definitely a really important one. I want to tell you guys about a call I actually got. I mean, this really fits with this question. Last week, from a friend of mine named Kim, who lives in Seattle, and she's always been a business friend, but she had known that I had been in a pretty serious car accident about 6 months ago, and she had a niece that was also in a similar accident, only I think her injuries were a little worse. And what happened to her niece is that she was 17 years old. She was a skater. She was driving a car, and she accidentally slipped on very wet pavement and hit a tree, and her head hit the driver's side windshield and broke the window and the windshield. And as a result, she was in a coma for 3 months, and she had lost feeling in the left side of her body. And so Kim, really loving her niece, you know, wanted to know, what can we do? You know, she's you know, feeling discouraged. She wants to skate again. She's, you know, basically been in a coma. She's just come out of her coma. You know, she was in a coma for 3 weeks. She's out of her coma now. She's just starting to feel something. How do we help her? And I was really focused on this book at that time, and I thought it was really great timing because, especially in the chapter that talks about health, he talks about the importance of explanatory style in helping people heal. And they've had a lot of research around that. So my suggestion to Kim was to go back and especially make sure that all the people around her, the nurses, the family members, everybody around her, could help give her a positive explanatory style and give examples of other people on the floor or past patients they've had who had similar accidents as she had that did learn to walk again and did regain their athletic skills again and were able to get back out and do all the things that they had done before. And, you know, it really made a lot of sense to Kim. They were really making an effort to do that. And, you know, it was an opportunity to really go back and just make sure that all the nurses and everyone around them was doing the same thing. So there's a lot of research definitely of how optimism impacts health, definitely with elderly people. You know, it has a real impact on how well we heal.
Susan, how's Kim's niece doing now?
Well, she's still in the hospital, and
yeah,
she's going through rehab, and she's starting to feel something back in her body again. But her dream is to be able to skate again, Lynn.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who have had similar accidents who were able to regain their earlier abilities or find ways to deal with them in a way that still made their life meaningful and worthwhile. So she is improving, but, you know, it's a process ahead of her.
Well, that's a story that's certainly powerful. And, Kathy, we hope that you find that to be useful in what was behind the question that you asked, Susan. So thank you very much for raising that. Really appreciate it. We have another email from a listener down in lovely Fort Myers, Florida. And Lee's question is, how can you know how optimistic you are now? Yep. Can you help with that one?
That's a good one. And, you know, I know we talked about that before one of the first breaks, but if the listeners didn't hear, there is a test you can take that will tell you what your explanatory style is. And I really encourage everybody who's listening to contact CRK Interactive and get a copy of that free assessment test, because it's going to really break down your explanatory style in a lot of different areas. But I would encourage sales managers who are listening to this, encourage your salespeople to do the same thing so that you can then be better attuned to where they are so you can coach them and develop them and help them, you know, achieve what they want and overcome any challenges they might be having.
You know, Susan, you were kind enough to let Jack and I have the link for that particular assessment. And, folks, it takes about, Jack, what, 6-7 minutes to go through the different questions that they ask, and you do get back some very, very interesting insight into just how optimistic you are in a few different areas in your life. So, again, we would encourage all of you out there listening, sales reps, sales managers, account managers, customer service people, it's sales@crkinteractive.com for the link for this free assessment. So,
and let me please remind you, if you know of someone that's on that unemployment line, share that information with them. We'd be delighted to help anybody, sales@crkinteractive.com, to get one of those optimism.
And you know, Jack, even it's applicable for anybody who's going through any sort of difficult time. I think they'll benefit from it, you know, just themselves on it. So, you know, reach out there, help somebody on
it's important
this.
That glass be half full.
I couldn't agree more. Hey, Susan, we got another email here from all the way from Los Angeles, Cliff in Los Angeles, California. Cliff, you're up early, huh? Cliff's asking, are there times when you should not be optimistic?
And I'm guessing it's, what, 6 a.m. now in Los Angeles? I can kind of understand you asking that question. But, you know, it's actually a really good question. Because the answer is there are times when you should not be so optimistic, when in certain jobs where it pays not to be. You know, in sales, we see that for anyone in a sales profession, it makes a lot of sense because it's going to help you be more resilient. But there could be jobs where you don't want to charge ahead, and you want to be more cautious. And so, you know, a good example of that is anybody who's in a safety area. You know, I was flying back from Cleveland not long ago, and I was on an airplane, and you know, we had some technical challenges, and we got grounded, you know, for a little bit longer while they fixed them. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, you know, I want an airline pilot who is not so optimistic. I want an airline pilot who is going to err on the side of caution and make sure we do everything to that all the passengers on that plane are secure and safe.
Hey, Susan, I have developed, Jack and I travel quite a bit as well, and I've developed actually an interesting philosophy that, if you don't mind, I'd like to share with the listeners about
right.
when the plane is delayed.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say I made it up, but I didn't. It came from a fellow that I was sitting next to many years ago when we were waiting for, you know, for the delay to get over so we could get home. And he said, well, he said, as bad as this is, he said, I'm always better off wishing that I'm in the air when I'm on the ground than wishing I was on the ground when I'm in the air.
That's good.
And that one, that's talk about one. An optimistic, you know, as you're two
right.
hours delayed in on a flight, I'd rather be, you know, on the ground wishing I was in the air than the other way around.
Right, absolutely.
Susan, you know, listening to you, I was reminded of really one of the best sales managers that I have ever had the pleasure of working with. He's a dear friend. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on our show on February 8th. He's one of the co-founders of a company called LexJet, and his name is Art Lambert. And Art, many years ago, would look at my sales forecast, which I was projecting, you know, let's say something was 90% certain to close in the next 30 days, and he had an uncanny ability to ask me two or three questions that anybody forecasting a 90% probability rate should know the answer to, and I'd be sitting there scratching my head and, you know, saying, okay, I got to go back to the drawing board. I'm not saying that Art was pessimistic, but he was smart enough to know that sometimes salespeople can be unrealistic, and in my particular case, I was. It also probably makes me think that these rescue dogs that we've seen all over the world doing such great work, for them to keep going at it the hours and hours that they do, they got to be very optimistic at heart. But anyway, Len, anything else we got from people out there? Any other questions for Susan?
You know, actually, we do, Susan. We have one more, and we do have another couple of minutes for the break. So this one seems kind of interesting. It says, how can sales managers help their people be more optimistic? This is coming from the sales manager that's out there listening to us.
Yeah, really good question, because it's important that sales managers learn how to help their people do this. In this economy, that's one thing you can control, and it's one thing that also is going to make them enjoy their jobs better and bring more success. So good question, Len, because definitely it's important now. One suggestion would be to help learn how to teach your people to be more optimistic. And there are a lot of resources out there. Listeners can feel free to contact us if they want more information about that, and contact CRK Interactive. We can share some of those resources. But I think the first thing that all sales managers need to be doing is to listen closely for negative beliefs. Listen closely to what the people, what your salespeople are saying to themselves when they hit a wall. And, you know, hitting a wall is natural, where it's going to happen to all of us, but how are they explaining it to themselves? Now, when you hear those negative explanatory styles, that's where sales managers want to begin to really actively dispute them. So when they're saying to themselves, you know, this product line just is never going to appeal to our buyers, then that's where they need to start giving them case after case example of where it does appeal to those buyers, and help them get belief and help them understand why it really can make a difference.
Susan, thank you very, very much. We're up against a hard break. We're going to have to ask you to pick that up right after the break.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive. They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales@crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales@crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did.
Many of us try to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but there is just so much going on in our lives. Food allergies, picky eaters, tight schedules, and the like. We also have so much to think about. Weight management, disease prevention, eating psychology, and creating a healthy meal in minutes. Listen for Nutrition Matters and let Roxanne Moore step in to save you from the overwhelming sea of nutrition information. Roxanne will share success tips to keep you winning with over 15 years as a registered dietitian. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales@crkinteractive.com. That's sales@crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
We're back, folks. Again, we got Susan Cullen, president of Quantum Learning Solutions, with us today. And Susan's been talking about how optimistic salespeople can really outperform the pessimistic ones on an ongoing basis. And when we left off, Susan, you were just wrapping up how sales managers can help their people to be more optimistic. Do you want to finish up with that, please?
Sure, I would love to, because there's one idea, one exercise that, yep, I think can really help sales managers here. And that is to pair your people up, you know, and have them do exercises where they identify some of the biggest obstacles they hear. So when do people say no? You know, is it when they're cold calling? Is it over a certain type of product that they get resistance from? But what do they say no? And then look for what might be some of the potential negative beliefs. And then their partner would very, in a very focused way, dispute those negative beliefs. And then they, you know, work together on that. And I think this can be an excellent opportunity to get people to really pull out any objections they hear, what might they then be saying to themselves as a result of it, and really looking at where, you know, that may not always be the case. Those negative beliefs can be disputed. And that's one exercise I think could help sales managers a lot.
I love it. I love the whole idea of the buddy system. So let's hear it for the buddy system.
I think it's a great idea. Hey, we got another listener shooting you a email here, Susan.
Okay.
And this comes from the Big Apple, New York City, from Kristen. My company closed its New York City office, and as a result, myself and my colleagues lost our jobs. Sometimes it's really hard to be optimistic. Any thoughts for Kristen? What should she do?
Yeah, that's a good one, and I think, as you mentioned before, Jack, a lot of people are in this situation right now, so this probably is applicable to Kristen and a lot of other people on the line today. I think in this case, one of the most important things is to, first of all, when we talk about explanatory style, recognize it's not personal. And I think you said in this case that everybody in the office lost their job, and the office was closed. Is that right, Jack?
Yes, we read, Jim.
So what we especially see in that case is that if that is not, you know, that someone got fired, there's a big difference there in being laid off. And for a lot of people on the line today who are listening to that, this is happening more and more, and it's not personal to the people who are around. So whereas it can be very human to begin to start to say it was my fault, it in many cases it's just an economic challenge that the whole country is facing and companies are facing. So a key thing to start telling yourself if, when you're in that situation is that, you know, you can find something. You have the opportunity to find something. Focus on your strengths. Focus on the skills and the experience that you've got. Begin to look at, you know, what it is in your background and in your resume that's really strong. And, you know, there are so many cases we hear over and over of people who say, you know, when I lost that job, I thought that was the worst thing ever. And then what I didn't know then is that it pushed me into something that was an even better opportunity down the road. So I think it's important for job hunters right now to really listen to what they're telling themselves and focus on their strengths and their assets and the abilities that they have, and then start looking for ways to market those, and they'll feel much better in the process.
You know, I've heard it said, when one door closes, another one opens, right, Susan?
Right, absolutely.
Hey, Kristen, this one's for you. You stay positive, kiddo, and find yourself some good positive thinking people to hang around with. Susan, we got one more email. This one's from Kansas City, Missouri. Beth in Kansas City said, I work in a busy area around a lot of people. How can I get my coworkers to be more optimistic? Boy, that's a good one. That's a
that
really
is
good
a
question.
Great one. That's a great one, and that's probably also important for a lot of our listeners as well. And it, you know, it's very similar advice as, well, you know, what we were talking about a minute ago, Lynn, about sales managers. I think the key thing here, especially when we look at the, you know, the negativity that may be around us, and we're wanting to stay positive, is to remember that we, you know, can't make anybody do anything. Anyone who's been a parent, a spouse, a manager, or a team member knows you can't make anyone do anything. But what you can focus on is what you say to yourself about them, and how can you dispute some of their, you know, negative explanations that you hear around them. So one thing that I would really encourage in this particular situation is to look for what you can say to begin to start to dispute those beliefs, and what can you say to stay focused on feeling more optimistic in your own work environment, and chances are it's going to impact the other people around you.
You know, I got to tell you something. In that situation, and we hear that a lot. We hear this kind of a thing a lot. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I got a negative person over here,
right,
a negative person over there.
Right.
You know, what Jack and I have always said to folks is, you just can't fly with the eagles when you're hanging around with the turkeys. So you got to be optimistic, and you got to be as upbeat as you possibly can from inside. So, you know, Susan, one of the things that personally, I've always enjoyed movies and books that, you know, are inspirational, and I find that they've been helpful to get me through some of those down periods and so forth. Do you have any that you might recommend, one or two, to our listeners that might help them out, either books or movies?
Well, you know, I think that's a really important question, because it's actually even related to the last email from the last caller that you just talked about, who was trying to find a place to be more optimistic.
Right.
You know, we all need to have good food for thought. We need to have things that help us feel good. We need to be able to read positive literature, watch things that are optimistic. And so, you know, one thing I'd recommend everybody do is get the book Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman, and also his book Authentic Happiness, I think, is excellent. And, you know, the old standby, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, it's been around for years, but I think
it's a great read. It really is.
It really is. And last weekend, my husband and I went to actually two wonderful movies I'd recommend as feel-good movies for anybody. Blind Side and Extraordinary Measures were wonderful. So those are also really good feel-good movies.
That's
well,
great.
And
we've
I
heard
would,
really good things, actually, about both of those movies. So that's two good tips.
I would add Rudy and Seabiscuit always always do it for me, but
Rudy,
I digress.
Rudy.
Anyway, let me say that, Susan, it's really been great to have you on with us, and I know it's been even more beneficial than we ever imagined, and I'm sure our listeners really appreciate it. I'd like to share a story that relates to what we've been talking about. Long ago, in a small, faraway village, there was a place known as the House of 1,000 Mirrors. A small, happy little dog learned of this place and decided to visit. When he arrived, he looked through the doorway with his ears lifted high and his tail wagging as fast as it could. To his great surprise, he found himself staring at 1,000 other happy little dogs with their tails wagging just as fast as his. And when he left the house, he thought to himself, "This is a wonderful place. I will come back and visit it often." In the same village, another little dog, who was not quite as happy as the first one, decided to visit the same house. He slowly climbed the stairs and hung his head low as he looked into the door. When he saw the 1,000 unfriendly-looking dogs staring back at him, he growled at them and was horrified to see 1,000 little dogs growling back at him. As he left, he thought to himself, "Oh, that is a horrible place, and I will never, ever go back there again." You know, there may be days when the growl controls our voice. Something hollow within moves us to tear down, to look for the shortcomings in ourselves or in others. At other times, we are the recipient of such jealousy, of others' greed, insensitivity, and self-preoccupation. Nothing ordinary about today. Carry through on two things for the rest of the day, maybe the rest of the week. Number one, do the right thing. Number two, don't forget, if you come upon the House of 1,000 Mirrors, be sure to say hi to the dogs with the wagging tails.
Nice one, Jack.
That's a great story, Jack.
I read it a couple of days ago and, again, had to keep it. Remember, take advantage of Susan's offer. Email us at sales@crkinteractive.com to get your free assessment measuring your current level of optimism and your explanatory style. Len, would you like to give our quote for the week?
I would, Jack. Let's just remind our listeners first about our show coming up on next week. Our guest speaker is going to be Art Lambert, president of and founder of LexJet. Be sure to listen to Art. He's going to be talking about customers and customer interaction and how important that is to helping your sales. Our quote of the week comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson, folks, and here it is. It says, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." So do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. Stay away from the things you're afraid of, folks. Do what you need to do, and you stay positive the whole way through. Jack, any final words?
Susan, thanks again for being with us.
Susan, thank you so much. We really do appreciate your time and your good insight this morning.
I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. We hope to have you back again soon sometime, too.
Great.
All right, folks, have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for tuning in to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. We hope you picked up a tip or several to make you tops in the field of selling. Be sure to come back and join us next Monday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Network. Have fun this week.